Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio.
What's your name?
I just hadn't done that to you in a while. The random stare, like you forgot something.
No, I didn't forget.
I was the one rushing today.
Yeah.
So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor today
do
is...
Do tell, Bill.
Team Power. It's not Team Power.
Oh,
fumble on the play. Pape Machinery.
Oh, yeah, them.
Yeah.
Same building, different name.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally different program, too.
Different sign, yeah. Yeah, Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you need anything John Deere, as far as tractors, implements, parts, service, they do it all up there. Go up and see them. They also have steel products. Just in time for Christmas, go in there and get a new chainsaw or weed whacker or line trimmer. They got them all in stock. And Honda generators. Winter's coming. Power could go off. Get your new Honda generator there at Pape Machinery. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
There.
Yeah.
There, that wasn't so bad.
Stumbled through that one.
Well, the good news is our guest is always on the ball. He always busts me on all this stuff. I thought this was like the 12th show we did on Africa. Now it's the 13th. It's good. It's a good thing somebody's actually following along because, I don't know, you know, I need supervision sometimes. I dislike it.
Sometimes.
But I need it. So we have not had Harry on since July. Wow, that seems like a really, really long time. Because typically there's a lot going on in South Africa, and there has been a lot going on. We've just been jammed up. I don't know, China sort of overtook the South Africa problem. But we're back. It's time to give everybody an update because how that interacts with American, I will say, politics and all the stuff that you're seeing, it's a fascinating connection. If you have not heard any of our shows on South Africa, I would encourage you to go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the South Africa tab at the top, and you have a wealth of programming. So we have tabs for South Africa, China, Islam, environmental issues, national security, marijuana, if you still think marijuana is good for you and it's natural and it doesn't hurt children. Actually, there should be a rule. You should have to go listen to those shows.
Or you could just go up to Siskiyou County and get in a gun battle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, you roll in 8,000 cartel members. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
So all these people who think legalizing it made the crime go down? Well, several people got shot yesterday. So between the Hmong and the Chinese cartel and the 8 million gallons of water, just going to that one location. I mean, there's a lot of locations.
It was probably just a little transportation issue disagreement they had.
Yeah.
So it's that time of year.
Who knows? I don't have the details yet. But, yeah, so if you think that it's not hurting anybody, I beg to differ. Feel free to call. My phone number's on the website. All right, so our guest is Dr. Harry Bouyans. He's an internationally recognized, multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist. That should make you impressed.
Yeah.
Because we're none of those things.
Speak for yourself.
You weren't even sure where you work.
Bill, I don't work there today. It's Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'll cut you loose on that one.
All right.
He is originally from South Africa, so he's not just talking about, you know, stuff he read in a book. And he has a 360-year bloodline, and we've been talking to him for a while, so I'm sure that's a little bit longer. We should probably change that number. And so his family comes from there. So when you think about, you know, go back, he has said this multiple times, but really stuck with me when they say you should go back to where you came from. He's like, that's where we came from. He lives with his family on the forested slopes outside Vancouver, Canada. So we always get a fun Canadian perspective on things, but he pays a lot of attention to what's going on in this country and with our politics. I know we're going to talk about that today. And basically his life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War And the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishment. He applies his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy, and he writes with factual accuracy in an engaging style on these subjects. And, you know, that's totally true. I've posted some of his articles. You can I would really, really encourage you to read some of his work. The Amabulu blog is listed on our site. Links to that, and he does updates all the time. He's really, really a good writer, and he's always factually accurate for himself and other people, including me. So, Harry, how's the world treating you up there in Canada today? Uh-oh. Is he in the cone of silence?
Uh-oh. Harry, can you hear us in there?
No.
No?
It's funny. We're looking at him on a computer screen in front of us on a Skype Connect. But he has a 7-second delay, so I'm like, oh, maybe he's just not looking up yet. No, he can't hear us. Oh, after all that.
Uh-oh.
I could have stalled for time while Travis called him back. But I just stalled for time. Here, everybody. Oh, he said he's got. Nope. He just showed us his phone on Skype, but he can't hear us. Or Travis, flip some different switches.
Okay, we got to talk to the man behind the curtain and find out what's happening with our guest.
I have no audio connection back here. I have no connection with that computer.
No, you don't. He should be on the phone.
No one's on the phone right now.
Oh.
Well, that's a problem. That so he showed problem. Us his phone. But,
yeah, I think he's waiting for a phone call possibly, hey?
Robert, do you have Harry's number in your hot little hand, or would you like my phone to go show Travis what the number is? So we didn't hook up the phone connection?
Oh, that's what happened.
Oh, yeah, that little detail. Oh.
Well, I didn't.
That's what happens.
Like
that's what happens when you roll in and you think everybody's got everything. Travis, I will Skype that to you right this hot minute.
Perfect.
Well, so much for having that all squared away.
Well, in the meantime, yeah, we're going to talk about...
In the meantime, I did a really good introduction, and I didn't really actually mess anything up, so...
But there are a lot of things going on in South Africa right now since we talked to Harry last time.
Absolutely. So at least calling him, I guess I'm just going to promote some of the things that we have discussed because, honestly, there has been just a massive lie perpetrated on, I'd say the world, actually, but specifically on the American public. I don't think most people realize that the people, when they went to South Africa, were Dutch 360-plus years ago. They're Dutch, and they did not displace anybody, and they never enslaved anybody.
Nope.
And so all these things that we hear about all the time are fake. And if you'd like the real history, I hope you do go listen to the earlier programs, although Harry's pretty good at catching us up. So now he's probably on the phone, I think.
Hi.
Hey, there he is.
There you go. Huh. So much for all of our technical... Our technical awareness. Well, we have like 2 minutes till the break. You want to give everybody a little shot at what we're going to discuss today?
I guess you're talking to me, Aaron. I'm not used to this little voice on the side in the phone here.
Sorry. Yeah, you sound really small too. Maybe you can move the speaker a little closer.
I can do my level best. I'm starting to get it into the camera.
We might actually have to connect you with Skype. Maybe we... Robert's all, no.
Okay, so, yeah, I guess the background here is that the United States has been heavily focused, quite rightly, on the election of a president. Things have been changing drastically in South Africa, and I was hoping to share some of that with folks, and probably it can be summarized as maybe the long silent non-black population of South Africa has found its voice. They have basically grinned and borne it for 26 years. And at a little town called Senekal, the whole cup just kind of didn't run over. It boiled over. And I don't think South Africa is going to be the same ever since 6 October 2020. And I wanted to share that with folks.
Well, good, because they've been really taking a beating, and it's been somewhat silent. I mean, they've kind of gone unheralded after all this time, not by you, but by, God, the American media. We won't even, well, we will probably get into that a little, but they don't give them, they really don't give them the coverage that they need in order to defend themselves and in order to get the factual message out. Let's take a really quick break here, and we're going to work on our sound, because I'm sure people actually listening on the radio are frustrated because his sound is very low. So we'll get that squared away, and we'll be right back. So in the meantime, you're listening to We the People, and you should find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Not on in anybody's ear.
There we go. Oh,
that's, we were in the
better
cone of silence.
No. There. Good, Harry. Can you hear us a little better now?
Oh, I can see his mouth moving. Oh.
He was hung up on, and I called him back, and it was busy.
Oh,
so
okay.
He might need to hang up, and we could try again.
Okay, call him again. He's giving us hand signals on the screen here. Huh. Well, you know what? Being all ready hasn't really panned out. But you know what? It will. So, all right. In other news here, I want you to. All right. I got him on Skype.
There we go.
Okay. So, oh, maybe he's in there. It's really weird looking at him on a screen. Because we kind of feel like we can talk to him, but we can't. Travis is talking to him on the phone. I'm giving you the play-by-play. I feel like a baseball announcer.
Can you read lips?
Radio baseball announcer.
He's still coming up busy. I called 3 times.
Okay. Well, that's not good. So we're going to... Robert, you doomed us there, bud. You hung up on him. Okay. So let's see. Senegal, I'm sure I'm positive that I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. I'm going to put here, he's trying to call you. There we go. Peaceful little town on the Free State Prairie of South Africa. And nothing is ever, this is Harry's writing, nothing is supposed to ever happen there. One is supposed to hear the corn grow. That part of the country is a world of wide vistas, fields of wheat, corn, sunflower, tractors, combine harvesters, grain silos, and church steeples. This is the Midwest and the prairie of South Africa. And a world of John Deere and Massey Ferguson. The local farmers are no-nonsense folks with big hearts, a firm handshake, and a word that counts for something. They're traditionally Calvinist Christians, typically belonging to a Reformed church. Midwestern American Presbyterians would feel quite comfortable with these folks and that in that church. It's kind of interesting to think about that being South Africa, because I think that's not the picture that most people have. But Harry, in your absence, we painted a little picture of the area that we'll be discussing. So you take it away. I just exhausted all my knowledge.
Yeah. So what I try to say, and I don't know if you guys can hear me any better now.
There, yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I am perfectly set up on Skype, if you can use that. That's running live at this time. While the U.S. was correctly focused on the election, things went, as the British would say, pear-shaped in South Africa. It was one farm murder too many. The back of the camel finally broke, and it broke spectacularly. And it led to the first ever clash, to my knowledge, in the history of South Africa, between a crowd of white people in a street and a crowd of black people in a street. And the country turned on a knife edge. And I've been in communication with the individual who manned that knife edge. And I would like to describe some of that to your listeners and viewers. And I came prepared today with a collection of sound clips, which I sent to you, Aaron. And I have them arranged in a sequence that might make sense. And the first of those is a little soundtrack by it's Katie Hopkins, the British conservative lady. So it's Katie Hopkins, and she's on a show that's known as the Jensen show in the Netherlands. They're doing this in English with Dutch subtitles, and she describes the situation. And Katie probably did it better than one could even dream of, because she's such an expressive person. So maybe I could shut up and you guys could play that first.
I'm gonna have to play this from my computer at this point, which is fine. But can you tell me what is it called? A1. Okay. Travis, if you can make this play on that little that little hitch up deal I got going on here.
So this is Katie Hopkins on a show called Jensen in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And here's what she said.
It's the situation that is something that's close to your heart and something that hasn't been addressed a lot in this country. It's the situation with the white farmers in South Africa.
I had loads of emails from South Africans, and you're right, the white farmers are mostly whites in South Africa, but their farmers, the people that work the land with them, are black individuals, families who've worked with them for years, generations of the same families, black and white, working together on the land. Now, because of the policies of the ANC, which is land expropriation without compensation, i.e. we're going to take back the land, what it means...
Because you got the land unfairly.
You got the land and you're rich and apartheid. You know, everything is apartheid. And so they're saying that the policy, political policy is we're going to take it back without paying you anything. And what that translates to on the ground is black gangs going onto farms and committing the worst acts of savagery I've ever imagined. I spent a month there in country, traveled the equivalent of the United States of America, and met these farmers and listened to their stories. And I came back, you know, I've not been the same.
It's harrowing.
It's the genocide of whites from the land, but because they're the wrong color.
Do you have any statistics?
Color,
how many people have lost?
So it's more dangerous to be a white farmer in South Africa than it is to be on the front line of the South African police force.
Yeah.
And if you think about what the police force faces in South Africa, that's a pretty dangerous thing.
It's an incredibly violent.
Yeah. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to talk about it because these farmers are the wrong color.
And that's the truth of it. So. The result is that nothing happens and people are just continually killed. Now, there is an individual who is the leader of the third biggest political party in the country. His name is Julius Malema, and he has the habit of singing the song that you can hear in clip A2, which would be the next sound clip.
Shoot to kill, kill him. Kiss the poor.
the farmer, this the poor, the farmer. Burr, pa, pa, burr, pa, pa. Attention.
And we've seen that on video before.
I have carefully stripped all the video away because I thought today was going to be an audio show.
No, but I mean, I remember we saw that on video, and that's
frightening,
super scary.
What he does is he dances on stage from one foot to the other, and then he turns his right hand into the shape of a gun. And then when he says, prr, pow, pow, he's indicating that he's shooting. And there may be some distortion on that clip, but he's basically starting off by saying, shoot to kill. And then he says, kill the boer, the farmer. The word boer is Dutch or Afrikaans or Flemish, or in fact, most Northern European languages for farmer. Boer is just farmer. There's nothing weird about the word.
And it's spelled B-O-E-R, so when you see that on the signs, that's the word for farmer there.
And interestingly, there was a huge, big pro-Trump, pro-America rally in Beverly Hills about a week and a half ago. And one guy in between was walking along with a Boer Lives Matter sign. Of course, a guy like me would notice that. Okay.
Yes.
Just to also make it clear, I have the 1600s records of New York, and I can tell you that the British soldiers referred to the farmers in upstate New York as boer, the same word.
So they used the Afrikaans word for farmer there.
Yeah, so you guys decided to focus on English for a national language, and we retained the Dutch. We both started with Dutch, you know, all of us. And that's why we're closest cousins, you know. It doesn't surprise me that the Van Wyck Highway in New York should be called that, except I pronounce it Van Wyck. Okay? When I drove through that area the first time in my life, I saw the town Peekskill, and I told people, I bet you that's named after a guy called Jan or Koos Pik. And true enough, it's named after Jan Pik. Okay. Or the Schuylkill River further south, you know, which is really Schuylkill, which means it's a deep spot in the river where you hide. So that Dutch is everywhere over there. Okay. You just elected not to use the word. We kept it. So boer means farmer. It's no deeper than that.
Interesting. Well, when people see that on some of these signs, especially, we'll get into the whole Black Lives Matter deal and all that, because there's a lot of interplay in that as well. And I'm sorry, we've now had enough technical things to roll us to yet another break. Sorry about that. But we will be right back swiftly as possible. You can find the program at wethepeopleradio.us. Some of it has kind of become superstition in a way. All right, Harry, back to the story.
Okay, so you've heard Katie Hopkins's background. You've heard Malema singing to his followers on a stage, kill the farmers, kill the boere. And so, of course, they go and do it. And at the same time, that same guy, that same third largest party leader in the country, explains that things are actually worse in the country than under apartheid. But for some or other reason, in his twisted moral picture, he blames white people for that, and that the only way for him and his type to get out of the mess that they're in is to take everything that white people have. So rather than me say that, how about you hear the man himself talk about that, about how things were actually better under apartheid? Okay, not me. This is Malema.
This is four.
This is number three.
Let's try that one more time.
What type of freedom is this? That 24 years into democracy, we are worse than the way we were during apartheid.
24 years into democracy and they're worse off? Am I understanding that correctly?
That's what he's saying. So he forgets today that he said that 2 years ago. But that was his complaint, is that things are so terrible, it's going worse with his guys. Not him. I mean, he's now a millionaire. He lives in a mansion. He's got all kinds of Mercedes. But supposedly things are so bad for his guys, they're worse than under apartheid. Well, apartheid was the system that the last white government had. And everything in the country is being stolen by the ANC government that Bill Clinton wanted for South Africa, and that Hillary Clinton fated. And somehow, in his twisted logic, he feels he's got to blame white guys from a quarter century ago for that. Okay? So, of course, people overseas started noticing that. And one Indian television show got hold of the subject. And I think it's Indian, and interviewed him. And I think you should hear what he has to say. And that is clip four.
It's of the natural order of things that encourages white South Africans to racist outbursts. But that also...
Wrong one.
Sorry, say that again.
That's the wrong one.
Okay.
It's A4. That you want.
Sorry, that's what's highlighted. Since I don't know what I'm listening to, I'm having a little...
A4, Malema, not yet slaughter.
Yeah.
I've never here we slapped go. A white person. Nothing. I've never called for their slaughter. I've never called for their killing.
That's a lie.
At least for now. I can't guarantee the future.
Yeah, but, I mean... You'd understand somebody watching that. They freak out. It sounds like a genocidal
crybabies.
What type?
Oh, they're crybabies because he's calling for them to be slaughtered?
Well, his words were, I have not called for any of them to be slaughtered, at least not yet.
Oh.
Okay, and so this interviewer is telling him, but hell, man, don't you understand the reaction of folks when they hear you use those words? Okay, and he says, crybabies. Okay, now, you will hear about the crybabies any moment now. I just have to sketch you this. Now, if there's any confusion as to what they want, here is an associated group. It's essentially the Black Lives Matter of South Africa. They're called Black First, Land First. And my numbering is out of sequence. That one is A6. It is entitled A6. It is ours, BFLF.
We don't want your handovers. We don't want you to feel pity for us. We are coming for you and we are going to get everything that you own. It's ours.
Everything you own is ours. Well, that's fairly clear.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 26 years of rule by Nelson Mandela's party, and all of these people see only one thing. They see white people, and they want what white people have. Doesn't matter what Mandela did. Doesn't matter what Mandela said. Doesn't matter what his ANC party has done. Doesn't matter that they have completely tanked the country. Doesn't matter that every state corporation is bankrupt. Doesn't matter that it's in hock to the whole world finance scheme. The country's bankrupt, and they don't know what to do anymore. But on the ground, black people want to have what whites have. End of discussion. It's so simple for them. That's what they.
And they have framed it in the context that this was taken from them, therefore it is owed back to them. But as we've learned from you historically, that's actually not accurate.
None of them know their own history. I mean, people devoid of that level of logic. What reason could you possibly have to believe they even understand who their grandfather was or where he was? So Malema comes from the far north of the country. The president comes from almost the border of Zimbabwe in the far north. His own people arrived in South Africa a little bit later than what white people arrived in the country. Okay? They reckon the country was stolen from them. It's just, is there a polite English word for crap?
Yeah, we get to say crap. We checked that out already.
It's crap.
Well, they're being told this, and they've been told this, the world's been told this, that whites have stolen what the blacks had, and they're just trying to get back what they used to have. We know from learning history from, you know, all the stuff that you've shown us, that that's actually not accurate. But do they actually believe that? Or is this just a narrative that works for them?
Passionately.
Passionately. Okay, so they believe that really happened.
They believe it happened. Okay? But when they go and speak to, like, their elders in their tribes and stuff, they hear the real thing, but they don't want to listen to the elders of their tribes because, you know, they wear jeans now and they have cell phones. I mean, they got the right uniform to pretend to know something about the world. Yeah, they got Levi's and they got the latest iPhone, you know, and they got Reebok or something on the feet. So they are manawat count, as we would say. Okay, men that count. But now you can imagine against that background, Tucker Carlson at some point in 2018 put up an article in which he actually discussed this situation, and all hell broke loose. He was attacked from seven sides for having dared to suggest that farmers are being killed. Okay.
Well, I mean, you can search the images. We did that on a show with you. If you look up farm murders and you click on the images, you can see it. What did they use to attack him for talking about it?
Hive mind works. I mean, these folks. I deal with some of these here in Vancouver. You know, their answer to any fact is anger, followed shortly after by the word racist. There's no thinking. And I'm talking here about, look, I live in North Vancouver. I'm telling you that you can go and do the numbers. The most highly, the per capita most highly educated nation on earth are the Canadians. I'm telling you that I live not only in the most highly educated province, but the most highly educated city and in the most highly educated suburb. Okay? And they're that stupid. They really are that stupid. That is why you keep on hearing me say that I'd rather go shake hands with a regular farmer from Kansas or Nebraska or, you know, southwestern Illinois or what the hell ever than with these guys, because there's something with the way their brains function. It's just utter disconnection. So if they see facts that go against what they would like to believe, they erase it, or they block that website, or they whatever. They can't handle facts or the truth. And that's what we're up against. And you know, our folks are dying as a result of that behavior. So Trump reacted back in 2018, and he tweeted that South Africa is a mess and that he's instructed Mike Pompeo to investigate what's going on with the slaughter of South African farmers and the taking of their land. And that, of course, is what caused a major explosion all over the internet. And our state president reacted as follows, which is clip number A7, which I think is absolutely precious because it hangs around his neck like a lump of concrete. Clip A7 is Ramaphosa denying that there are such things as farm murders.
Okay, we'll do that and then we'll head to a break.
Itself, he was clearly misinformed, and whoever gave him that information was completely wrong. There are no killings of farmers or white farmers in South Africa.
Wow, even I know that's not true. That's pretty bad. With what little we've done, and you know, for the people that are hearing this maybe for the first time, I would really, really encourage you to go back. Go to the website, listen to some of the earlier programs on the history of South Africa, because I think you will be blown away, actually. It's, as Harry told us a long time ago, it's the history of the United States if we would have lost to the British. Very, very, very parallel history, and not at all what is being portrayed. We have to take a really fast break. We'll be back with Dr. Harry Bouyans. So you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Exactly. Bad part is the government sanctioning all of it, and the police are in on it, so there's no nobody's coming for them at this point.
Are we talking about South Africa or the United States?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're starting to look a lot alike in a obviously a less deadly sort of way. Harry, I know that the farmers have been pretty. I mean, I don't know if they've been quiet about it, but they have not really been able to capture the world attention that they needed. Do you think that's improving at all?
Well, basically, as far as I'm concerned, they were just sitting there taking it. I wrote in a blog article about a week ago under the title Senecal, Oh Senecal, and essentially a little intro paragraph that says perhaps they finally found their voice and the ANC government is running scared, because all of what I've had you play so far is setting you up for what actually then happened in the month of October. Just before we launch into that, I thought that the vindication of Tucker Carlson, the farmer's case, and the utter humiliation of the New York Times would make a very good combination. And that's best done using clip number 8. That starts with the letters NYT. What happened is that the New York Times did an interview with a farmer in the Western Cape, mind you, not the main area where most killings are. So safely away in the safest part of the country, they had the interview, you know, and really their whole attitude is, no, 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 farmers aren't being killed. See, here's an example of a nice farmer and blah, 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 blah. And Trump was obviously wrong. He has to be, because he was born. He must be wrong. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it's Fox who had the article. It must be wrong, you know. And since they incited Trump to make that call on Pompeo, this is all evil and fundamentally wrong at the base facts. All of this must be completely wrong. And nobody can explain what happened better than Tucker Carlson with his unique kind of acid dripping comment. So I give you Tucker Carlson a couple of months later.
I told you about the plight of farmers in South Africa. Hundreds of them have been killed in recent years, some after suffering horrific torture. Instead of protecting the farmers, the government of South Africa has worked to change its country's laws in order to seize their land without compensation. Last year, the New York Times called this show immoral for even suggesting that farm murders might be a problem. But there's one problem for the Times. Their own interview subjects are getting murdered. Just this past March, the Times profiled a South African farmer called Stephen Smit. Smit's land had been overrun by a mob that built a shanty town and refused to leave. Smit told the newspaper that he'd received death threats, including a threat to, quote, burn him alive. He said he'd been intimidated into selling his land to local government officials. The article featured quotes from political activists openly attacking Smit on the basis of his skin color. Despite that, the Times once again concluded that it's, quote, false to say that farm murders are a real problem. Well, yesterday, four men broke into Smith's home while he was having dinner with his family. They shot him dead, and then they left. His was the second farm murder in the Western Cape province in the last month. According to the New York Times, they deserved it.
Wow.
What do I need to say? You know, you, like I said, you cannot talk to these people. No fact penetrates. Okay? So, if you want to know what the state president, having denied that farm murders take place, he's been watching television. He saw the George Floyd thing in the U.S. And here is the esteemed South African president in clip number A9 mouthing off on what he believes is the problem.
Sense of the natural order of things that encourages white South Africans to racist outbursts. But that also enters the home field as well, that encourages men to abuse their wives. That makes it possible the killing of a black man by a white police officer on an American street. It is this that speaks to the natural order of things that needs to be challenged and to be broken.
Hmm. Wow. Life in the alternative universe must be awesome.
Not if you're the president and, you know, people run around killing white farmers. It seems like the obvious thing to do. All you have to do is talk complete garbage, you know, where A does not connect to B at all. I have yet to understand where abuse in the home connects to any perceived racism on the part of dead farmers. Or can anybody connect this together for me? Because I sure as hell can't. I have a pretty close friend here in town, also another ex-South African. He's a very accomplished director of boards and eventually left South Africa a few years ago, concerned about the country. And he dealt directly with Ramaphosa, President Ramaphosa, because, you know, he had to worry about his company and all that kind of stuff. Very big operation in South Africa. And so he got to go around with all these politicians. And in particular, he had a lot of time for Ramaphosa. And I sent him this clip. And he said, I really wish you hadn't sent me this, Harry. I'm afraid it confirms everything. you know. Wow. So slowly but surely, everyone who thought that Ramaphosa was the great black hope is having to wake up and realize, no, guys, he was the main negotiator in 1994 before we had that big election. He was the guy who got the stupid white leader to throw his country down the toilet. Okay. Why do you think this guy's going to care about you? This guy is the enemy. This guy's the problem. He's right at the heart of the problem. And there you heard it. That's why he's at the heart of the problem. And if folks can't see that he's a racist, I have severe problems with him. Okay, that sketches for you the cultural situation. It sketches for you the fact that people have died. It sketches for you that even the New York Times' own interviewee got killed. I don't know what else one could say. But now to get to that question of yours, when you said the farmers aren't really doing anything, I wrote that article that I mentioned, and in it I said that the farmers have, all they've been doing is praying. And I don't think there's anything wrong with praying. That is laudable. It's great. As a Christian, that's what I expect them to do. But you can't just pray and do nothing. You cannot just pray and do nothing. And I was so concerned about writing those words that I kept my thing from publishing, got hold of a Reformed Church minister, sent him the article, and asked him if he could possibly take a look at it because I feel I'm starting to tread on thin ground. And he didn't just come back with exclamations of yes behind my statements. He actually went further. He said that behavior is unchristian, to just pray.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
That'll keep him safe. Harry, we have a hard break here at the top of the hour. For people listening who are frustrated, we are going to work on the sound while we have our news break, and we'll be right back with you. You can find the program at wethepeopleradio.us, and we will have an archive up later that'll have the sound stuff all fixed if you're annoyed. We'll be right back. Hosts earlier today called in sick, so Travis has been here just, you know, playing shows, and then we show up and it's like, guess what, we're going to use all the technology we never use and suck at it. Welcome to We the People. So my name is Aaron Ryan
and my name is Bill Cundiff, and
are you sure you want to admit that we should have had aliases? We didn't prepare very well.
So our sponsor today is Pape Machinery. I'm so messed up today. My sound file's messed up as well.
Phil can't play the right audio clips.
Wow. There we go. Sponsor today is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you need a John Deere tractor, implement, you name it, they've got it up there. Go by and see them. Or give them a call at 226-9226. Or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
There we go. The chaos. The chaos will end. It always ends. You know how that goes. But our guest today is Dr. Harry Buyatz, and we're talking about South Africa. So we were really wanting to fix the sound for you so that you didn't lose any of his info. But we've got some sound clips for you, and we've got all sorts of other things. In the post-production part of the thing, when we put up our archive, it'll all be cured. Oopsie. Phone's got to go off. Travis, you might want to drop that phone call. We should be all good. So, anyway, we'll fix it all for that. So, sorry, it's been annoying in live mode.
Okay, so Harry, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
I've got multiple Skype calls here that are running across two different PCs. It came in on the wrong machine. I can't shut it down. I can't answer anywhere. It is a nightmare.
Well, it's a nightmare on this end, too. But your sound is much, much better now. We do have a huge echo. I don't know what's happening there.
Someone has speakers on. My speakers are off.
Okay. No, we still have an echo. So you said you had two Skype lines open?
Well, I got a call on a separate instance of Skype. And the more I try to answer it, it's impossible. I got a telephone and two Skype calls. I think I need to shut down completely. And you guys get hold of me on just Skype and only on vocal, and that's the end of it.
Okay, I like that idea.
Don't leave. I finally got it working.
Oh, well, it's got a huge echo going here.
Okay. So we're going to disconnect, call Harry right back, and we'll stop the madness. There we go. All right, Travis, if you can just Skype him one more time, then we can get that all going.
Is your sound off, Robert?
Yeah. Woo! That was exciting. All right. So anyway, the long and the short of it is, I really do hope you go read this article. It's awesome. And the amount of, we'll call it lying, because it's lying, the amount of lying that goes on in not just the U.S. media, but in world media regarding the events in South Africa will blow your mind when you actually get the story, when you actually get the right story. And I don't know what else to say. But that the history is fascinating. Harry also has a lot of at hbuyans.wordpress.com is his website, and we have that linked up on ours. But he has a whole lot of pictures. I will also link the sound files that we played today if you would like to hear those again.
Without the echo?
Yeah, without the echo and all the other drama. But if you go to this article, and okay, like I said, we have linked it, it's fantastic.
I don't know whether I'm on or off at this stage.
Oh, there you are on. You're on. We can hear you. And you sound just like you. Yay.
Can you hear us, Harry?
Oh, Bill, could you bang your head on the desk just a little bit for me?
I already have a big nod on my head.
Got a little unicorn horn on the forehead there?
Yeah. I have no idea where I am now, folks.
Sorry.
Sorry, Harry.
Well,
I'm logging off, and somebody can get hold of me if...
Oh, you can't, because you can't hear us?
Continues. I have no idea what to do.
Okay, so maybe we'll just go to a telephone.
Maybe we just go straight to Telephone Town. I think it's safe to say that after 10 years, we've never had this much trouble. Gosh, and Friday the 13th was 2 days ago. That seems like something we could blame, but, won't work. So anyway, you will see also, I just keep going back to the topic because that's really the whole point of this program. Not the technical difficulties, but the actual topic that we're discussing today. You'll see a field I can't even tell you how many crosses are in this field, but I do. I did post that. I posted it on our site, and it's also on his. But the ANC government did all in its power to hide the farm murder statistics, and by 2020 there were some 4,000 white crosses at the White Cross Monument, and he's got a photo below, north of Pretoria, commemorating the farmers, their family members, and their farmhands who had been murdered since Mandela came to power. Yeah, so much for Mandela, Mr. Peacekeeper. That actually was a big myth too, and his wife as well. Many had been gruesomely tortured to death, and however, to this day, the sign over the place is only in Afrikaans, the mother tongue of most farmers. That leaves people like myself having to translate the word farm murders, and I don't know how you say it in Afrikaans, but he's got it here, for folks in North America who exhibit true shock when they hear what it represents. At one point in 2005, the percentage death rate of South African farmers was greater than the death rate of U.S. soldiers in Iraq, and U.S. soldiers were not typically tortured to death. I mean, these people are lit on fire. Their children are tortured. Limbs are cut off. Some of them are left alive. Some are not. And honestly, if you're having trouble with this idea, go to whatever search engine you use and search farm murders. Just those two words, farm murders. Click on the images file, because there'll be a lot of articles. But click on images, and I think you will be absolutely blown away. And like I said, this is the 13th show we've done on South Africa. And so you can listen to any of the previous ones where we have detailed all those things with Dr. Booyens, who has a huge amount of proof. This isn't just opinion or a couple of pictures from friends. This is lots and lots of proof. So, Harry, do we have you back in there again?
Oh, I've got my Skype is running.
Okay.
And I'm on the air on Skype, on that version of Skype or that address that you contacted me on earlier about headsets.
Okay.
That's where I am.
Well, don't touch anything.
Don't touch anything. We're all good.
We're all good now.
We can hear you really well. And
okay.
Yeah, in another lifetime, the technology will all be magic.
I don't know whether I need to aim for the Skype mic or for the telephone mic.
I don't know, but whatever you're using sounds good.
And okay.
And then I can play all the clips from here.
I'm looking at a black screen, so I don't know what I'm seeing on the other side at all.
We're okay. We can't see you anyway. We'll just pretend.
And sometime or other, I'll tell you guys what happened here during that little technological nightmare. Okay, we ended off with the president of the country giving the United States a lecture about how it is white racism in South Africa that caused a black man to be killed on an American street, okay?
Right.
He somehow connects all of that. Yet, in his own country, it's the white farmers who are getting murdered badly. They're being tortured to death. So, this kind of stuff happened, and I mentioned that I had talked to a church minister who told me that, no, I'm not out of line with what I'm saying at all. And in fact, he added those additional words, that in fact, just praying and doing nothing is unchristian. And I went ahead, and this article was written because of an event on 1 October in South Africa that was the watershed moment, I believe. On 1 October, a young man named Brendan Horner in the Eastern Free State Province, see that as being sort of Kansas, Nebraska. It's relatively flat country, hilly towards the east, eventually turning into, just like in the U.S., where eventually you get the Rockies, just so in South Africa, in this case, you go east and you get the Drakensberg or the Dragon Mountains. Those are 11, 12,000-foot mountains with serious snow. But we are now to their west. On the plains of the country, it is the breadbasket of South Africa. It is the prairie of South Africa. And as I put it to folks, the farmers there, if the English isn't up to it, they speak Massey Ferguson and John Deere. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you see them going about their fields, the color of that gear is usually either green or red, meaning John Deere or Massey Ferguson. And as a background, I can just mention to you that a South African friend of mine who lives in Calgary in Canada, he had his father over on one occasion for a visit, and they drove east, and somewhere in Saskatchewan, they stopped, and it was the town fair, and the father wrote in for the combine harvester competition. The trophy for the best combine harvester guy in that town in Saskatchewan now stands in South Africa. Okay? Hmm. These are the same folks, right? So I took a Canadian example, but you might as well take the plains and the corn country of the U.S. The folks there are classically Dutch Reformed Church, which would be the closest thing in your country, would probably be the Presbyterian Church. They're in church every Sunday morning. They're at communion once a month. These are tough men. Their handshake means something. And if you visit them, the door will be open and they will move heaven and earth to help you. Okay? These are big men with big hearts and small egos with handshakes that count.
Mm-hmm.
On 1 October, sorry, I'm getting a little bit woozy. On 1 October, Brendan Horner didn't come home. He's a young guy. He's 21. He had just, that was the day that would have been the celebration of his, or anniversary of his joining as the farm manager of this particular farm. He's not a landowner. He's just a 21-year-old kid who got his first job as a farm manager. Everybody knew him as Mr. B. Okay? In English.
Mm-hmm.
They speak in a heavily accented Afrikaans English, but there's lots of English folks around there, and many, many very solid Afrikaners are of British extraction in that part of the world. Now, they started looking for him, and the next morning his body was found. He was the 50th victim for the year. Now, you can say, yeah, but there are 50 people murdered a day in South Africa. Well, they're not generally tortured to death.
Yeah.
And there are only about 34,000 of these farmers in the country. Okay? When you murder 50 of them a year, you get the highest death rate in a non-wartime place anywhere on earth. So, if you could, Aaron, I'd appreciate it if you would play clip B1, which is the so-called Carte Blanche TV show in South Africa, which is one of the ones that's still reliable. And they visit a farmer on whose farm this happened. You may want to hear this.
Okay.
An idyllic Free State landscape, seemingly quiet and peaceful. But it's right on this farm that a brutal murder sparked what has been called the Battle of Senekal. Gilly Skierbers owns the farm Blow Crane, where the 21-year-old Horner, affectionately nicknamed Mr. B, lived, worked, and had his life cut so tragically short.
His body lay like this. He was fastened here to this
rope.
Yeah, with a rope. His head was against this piece of fence here. Yeah. That's what this whole place was full of blood here. He had a small... Yeah, you can see it. There's the blood on the grass.
Still there.
That's still Mr. B's blood.
Wow.
That's it. The young man was, in a certain sense, lynched. First tortured and then lynched. This time, the farmers reacted for the first time ever. These are men who believe in the law. These are men who believe that the law is there to protect you. And more than anything else, they don't believe that vengeance is theirs. They leave that to the law. But the law is not doing anything for them at all. If you were to listen to the rest of that clip, the guy would say, if you call the police, they don't come. So, and there's also an accusation that the police are actually the leaders of the cattle ranches in that area. The police is part of the crook. So, the next scene moves to clip B2, which I have to first talk about, otherwise it'll make absolutely no sense. I can ship you video later, but on this occasion, the farmers gathered in town on the day that the two accused for the murder would be heard. It turns out the case was postponed and they were returned to the cells. But they went to the town of Senekal, which is the closest big town, and the center point, as always, of these little towns is the Dutch Reformed Church in the middle with a steeple. There's only two things you see from a distance in the Free State province. You see the church steeple and you see the grain silo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much sums up these people. You see the grain silo and the church, and it is right that they should be the two highest things. Well, they went to the hill near the court, and a few thousand of them gathered there. People had come from other parts of the country to join them. They had a church service. They did all of that stuff. They had a prayer meeting. And then a group of them went off to the actual court building, which is where the jail is. Brand new building there. They went into the building. And they were out for blood. It was the first time ever that people had been this worked up, as they should have been 20 years ago, as far as I'm concerned. And they basically stormed the court. And I want you to hear the audio clip of what happens there, and I will try to explain again further afterwards.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. The farmers were busy charging down the passage inside the court building, and they were trying to find the accused, and one of the policemen behind them fired two shots in the air. That's what you heard there. And you hear somebody say, skip terug. That's Afrikaans for shoot back. These people are at their limit. And the world still denies that there's a problem. Okay? You might as well try and get, you know, small town Kansas farmers to storm a church. Do you have any idea, storm a courtroom? Do you have any idea what it takes for those people to behave in that fashion?
Yeah. So, highly unlikely.
Yeah, it's completely out of character, okay? So, what happens next, I worked very hard on that sound clip to make everything audible. I had to compress it and do all kinds of stuff. So I hope, I don't know whether people are going to get this over the phone or over Skype, But the sound, the actual physical sounds, not voices, the sounds are important. So what happens in the next scene is that at the same time, outside the building, the few policemen there started throwing stun grenades at the farmers. But those people had gone to that courtroom with some of them carrying their toddlers on their shoulders, their wives, their kids were with them, everything. They didn't go there with the intent of being violent. Suddenly they're being shot at, they having stun grenades thrown at them, and all hell broke loose. Now, I know guys are big on football in the U.S., but real proper rugby is a slightly different thing, and the guys who are typically the rugby forwards are built like bulls.
Mm-hmm.
What you have here is a bunch of corn-fed farmers, all of them built like rugby forwards, and they're in the courtyard of the court. And as those stun grenades are thrown outside, two heavy armored vehicles full of police arrive at very high speed and try to crash through the crowd. One man, you can vaguely hear him screaming, you know, slow down. But he's saying it in Afrikaans. Hey, stadig, stadig. He's yelling at them, slow down, because they try to crash into the people. The police are trying to run the farmers down. Okay? The guys completely lost it. And when that one armored vehicle turned itself around in the courtyard, it tried to kind of bulldoze them in reverse. I want you to know that these farmers actually essentially formed a rugby football scrum. And they scrummed that heavy armored car out by the gate of the courtyard. And in one clip, one can hear the women actually yelling in great pleasure that the men are managing to get rid of this damn thing. Another vehicle, which was a small light delivery vehicle of the police, one guy in that tried to run more farmers down. And they actually took that car, turned it on its side, and left it. And then, as is so typical of these folks, having got rid of the armored car, having tilted the small vehicle, they all got together for another prayer meeting. That's who they are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That all happened on the 6th of October, and it has become known as the First Battle of Senekal, with not a shot fired by any farmer. And the clip that I'd love you to play is B3. It's called Nyala Assault. Nyala is the name of these vehicles. Some have been sold into the U.S. for police purposes as well, by the way.
Okay.
So this, you've got to imagine a really heavy armored police vehicle. You can even hear from the drone of the engine. This is a big thing, okay? These men are so angry that they are physically pushing this immense vehicle out of that place.
Okay, here we go.
What then happened is the armored vehicle drove a couple of yards away, threw another stun grenade among the farmers, and then rushed off. The police fled the scene. They had the armored cars. They had the stun grenades. They had the guns. They fled the scenes, and the farmers settled down to a prayer meeting. The audio clip plays you the sounds as the police vehicles arrive and try to bash their way through the farmers.
Okay. We're going to do that, morph that right into a break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans. Before that, straight to South Africa. Here
your
you go.
Audio is clipping. I can't hear you properly anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, you look at no next football out, Matthew. boere nou dat blok te neem.
So, Harry, after they did that, after all this chaos, we'll say, and the police are driven off by the farmers and all that, what was the repercussion?
Okay. So, two armored cars full of police with flashbangs and stun grenades and guns and things were chased away from the courtroom. Nobody in there was hurt in the end. The suspects weren't touched. And the farmers held their prayer meeting and then went off home. It turns out that the vehicle that had been toppled eventually caught light by itself and burnt out.
Hmm.
And I can spend 10 minutes explaining to you how a car does that. You don't want to have it tilted on its side with a battery live and the engine turning over. Now, the next day, seven police vehicles arrived at one farmer's house to arrest him. So they did the same thing as what was done to Trump's friend. I forget his name for the moment.
Oh,
Roger Stone, right?
Yeah, Roger Stone, that's right.
Yeah, so they did a Roger Stone on him. Appeared in court the next day, and they charged him with terrorism, attempted murder, willful damage to property, anything they could think of, okay? Sort of like the present U.S. FBI if you're a Trump supporter. Now, they dropped the terrorism charge. I think everybody realized how the hell would they make that stick.
Sure.
But they've still kept the attempted murder there. Nobody understands who was attemptedly murdered, but nevertheless, that's it. And everybody agrees they shouldn't have charged the courtroom, but okay, they did. I mean, they never heard. Nobody wants to listen to what's going on. The state president denies that they're being killed, and here's their son murdered. Okay? So, now the clock ticks forward to 16 October. We've had the murder on 1 October. We had the court appearance and the first battle of Senegal, as it's called, on 6 October, and then on 16 October was going to be the next hearing. This time, the area around the court is nobody can go there. It's now blocked off. But in the few days leading up to this, none other than Julius Kildebur Malema decides to involve himself, and he says, essentially, we black people cannot allow these white racists to behave in this fashion. Okay? He's going to go down to Senegal to go and protect public property, that's how we put it. He also threw in a lot of other comments about he's not scared of ex-South African white soldiers, particularly now that they can't even carry guns or whatever. The usual Malema garbage. at the same time, folks having seen that white people are finally prepared to get angry, folks appeared from all sides of the country to support the farmers. And I would like you to know that that included so-called South African colored people. That's not black. Okay, they are the descendants of everyone you can name. You know, it's probably not good phrasing, but initially the people who came as slaves from places like India and Indonesia and taken away from the Portuguese and white people and the indigenous Khoi people, all of that mixed up has gone into creating the so-called colored people. For reasons that only the ANC government knows, it has kept that designation and has kept on differentiating in that fashion, which is why we have these problems. Now, some of those folks came. A whole number of black people came. Black farmers came. And they gathered in four spots around the town. One group of farmers gathered 19 kilometers away where they had their usual prayer day, which is what they do. If you stop them in a heap, they'll have a prayer meeting. Then there was a group of a formal organization known as AfriForum, which is a civil rights group with a union attached. They gathered just north of town. A group that was sort of a motley arrangement of people who didn't really want to fall in with AfriForum, they met at a big open patch at the town's roadhouse. It's a small town. And if you wish, it's a one McDonald's town. You got that?
Sure.
It's a one Starbucks or a one McDonald's town. And they, one group, who came from all manner of places, typically further away, simply drove to town and were directed by the police that they could gather at the end of what is known as Bergstraat or Mountain Street, where they there they could meet, and the police said that if things got rough, they would put down barbed wire in front of them. Okay? All righty. Malema's people turned up in a apparently infinite column of buses, with something like 3,000 of them there. Malema himself is a different story, and I think it's important for you to first hear Malema before he appeared in the town, and that would be clip C1.
Okay.
Scared of them when they were soldiers.
Oops, hold on. For whatever reason, it felt the need to play that at the end. Can't get a break. I had it all queued up. I was doing so well. Hold on 5 seconds here. Me and my happy fingers. Here we go.
I'm not talking here from the comfort of my couch in the newsroom Africa offices. I will be in Senegal myself. I will be leading from the front. Do what you want to do. What soldiers? Why should we be scared of retired soldiers when we're not scared of them when they were soldiers?
Okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Leading from the front.
You heard the mouth, right? Okay. He doesn't turn up on the buses. He comes, I'll have you know, with a 25 police car escort. The police escorts into town the guy who sings about killing people the way this kid got killed. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, no message.
Okay.
No message missed on that one, I'm sure.
So, not only are they allowed to meet in town, their mobile stage from which Malema will make speeches is drawn up on the corner of the precious, wonderful old Dutch Reformed Church. How's that for in your face?
Wow.
Okay? You want to go try and do that in a Kansas town? Send Black Lives Matter into a little Kansas town and have them set up shop right on the corner of the church. See what happens. Okay, so it's provocation after provocation, after provocation, after murder, after murder, after provocation, after provocation, after murder. After torture, after murder, after torture. Now, you now need to imagine a situation where the EFF is at one end of this three-block street. It's only about three blocks, I think. Maybe four. Call me a liar if it's four. There's a short street known as Mountain Street. It's a small village. And Malema's guys, the 3,000 of them, are gathered at the one end of the street. And these largely white visitors in that group are at the other end of the street. The police took a look and they spun the razor wire in front of them, okay? But here's the thing. With a razor wire... With the razor wire spun in front of these white guys, they're actually cut off. They have only one way in and one way out from where they are by road. Okay? So with that action, the police actually trapped them in that spot. Now, they had themselves agreed with the police that that's an acceptable spot. So they hold nothing against the police for that. And the police had spun the razor wire as promised, and they did that. So these guys have no trouble with the police. And these are not the policemen who fled the scene 10 days earlier. Okay, these are real policemen now. Not those clowns that threw flashbangs and fled in armored cars. So the guys are working with the police. They are discussed with the police where they could stand and make their unhappiness known about this whole murder and all that stuff. And this is when, at a key point, some of the EFF guys take a good look at the lay of the land. The police don't do their job. The EFF double back to the main street, come down the main street, and come down the only entrance exit that these white folks have. They're trapped. Okay? And you have this massive mob of EFF people who spend every day singing, kill the farmer, kill the bull, and they're coming down the street to confront a collection of farmers and various other folks who joined in there. In the middle of that crowd were three people I need to talk about.
Okay. Hold that thought, Harry, and let's take a really quick break so we don't cut you off right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And I do have to tell people that he's got a great map of how this was all laid out. This is all part of the article that we've posted online, so I really do. This is one of those shows where I would really direct you to the website to go and look at some of this. It'll make a lot of sense when you see it in the context of what he's describing. So you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting.
About all there is. A lot of fairly bad news, but it's important to have actual factual news. So before we run out of time, got like 9 minutes and some change. So continue on. So you've got them all trapped, and I've posted the map. I just put that on the page so people can have it easily.
Yeah, and now there's a missing question, and that is, where is, quote, lead from the front, unquote, Malema? Right?
In the back.
Thought he was going to lead his guys from the front, right? He's sitting in the courtroom where the local white guys are not allowed. He's sitting next to the minister of police. So the guy who calls for the killing of farmers is sitting next to the police chief of the country, the minister of police, the secretary of police. Okay? In South Africa, there's a secretary of police, like you have a secretary of defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you got the idea. That guy gave him a 25-car police escort, and he's sitting next to him in the courtroom. His guys are out in the street, and they're charging down on the white guys cornered at the end of this trap. Okay, now, there are three groupings there that folks need to know about. Firstly, there's a group of guys who used to serve in what was known as the commandos, and they retired, and they now have an organization that kind of trains farmers in self-defense and security and stuff like that. They call themselves the Commando Corps, but they used to be, they still use to some degree the uniforms from the old Commando unit. See it as a National Guard, if you wish. It's closer to what the National Guard does in the U.S. So they're old ex-National Guard guys, but they're in uniform, and there is this amazing total of seven of them. Okay? And the one who will step to the fore amongst them is a guy called Andre Nell, Major Andre Nell. Another one is a gentleman named Kali Roo, who is in general an activist in the matter of anti-farm murder events. So, you know, he sets up some of these things, and he's a leader in that regard. And then there's Skalk van der Merwe. And Skalk van der Merwe is the chairman of the National Conservative Party, but he wasn't there in that capacity that day. He was simply there with his girlfriend, his lady friend. And so Skalk is there, but in normal life, Skalk is a labor negotiator. So here's this little knot of people. They're somewhere at best probably 250 or so, but you know, I couldn't count anywhere near that number when I went through all the videos. And there's this little knot of white folks at this corner, trapped behind barbed wire. And there is this mob of thousands coming down at them, okay? And eventually they ran into each other. But what happened is the seven Commando Corps guys, Kali Roo and Skalk van der Merwe, went and stood in front, and they didn't actually lock arms. They just stood, you know, like in the army, standing at ease. They stood at ease in a row in front of all the other guys. And this throng of EFF people ran up to them. And here is what that throng of people did. I want you to hear it. So that's C2. It's my last clip.
Okay. So they actually translate. Are they saying kill the boer, the farmer?
Yes.
That's nice. So for anybody who's not sure who the boer is, you know, they translate it for them. Wow.
They translate it for them in case they don't know.
In case they're unclear.
Okay. So what, and this is when Skalk van der Merwe stepped out and spoke to one of the apparent generals of this EFF crowd. And the way Skalk explains it is you walk up to the general, you look him in the eye, and you tell him another step will cause the end of his movement in South Africa. Yes, understand me crystal clear. If you make the wrong move now, Baba, it is civil war. Are you up for that?
And you have some great pictures. I mean, he's a very recognizable figure, and I do hope we can talk to him in the future.
Yeah. So in the pictures that I've provided in that article, you can see André Nel, who is the major in the Commando Corps. He's standing in the near field of the photo, and he's standing just absolutely dead still.
Mm-hmm.
Malema is nowhere to be found. At one point, some of the white guys, seeing that the EFF is not moving any further, I guess, got it into their heads to yell, "Where's Malema? Where's Malema? Where's Malema?" Yeah. Okay. What Skalk did then is he told those captains, both sides should step back a yard or two, and then we let the media come in between the two lots. That was done, and I believe I posted the picture of the EFF captain moving his men backwards.
Yeah.
And Skalk herding the white guys backwards. As I said at the intro, this, to my knowledge, is the first time ever in the history of South Africa that a mass of black people and a mass of white people met in a confrontation ever. Ever.
Oh, really?
Ever. Okay? So you can imagine the explosive potential right there. So,
well, and these aren't 20-something.
The police then arrived, and the EFF pulled back up the road several hundred yards. But the fact is, they had been faced off. They had retreated, or had been retreated, whatever you want to call that. Meanwhile, the other groups outside town had heard of this, and one of those groups was marching into town to come and help the trapped whites, but they arrived too late. Now, the point is, I think everybody in the country realized that this was a close-run thing, and I don't think folks understand how much they owe Skalk van der Merwe, the labor negotiator who rose to the occasion. Okay? Then things went quiet. So that was the second battle of Senekal, as people call it. And it's two political battles, really. The first one made the point that the farmers are capable of getting angry and taking action, finally, thank God. Okay?
Yeah, and I'm terribly sorry, but we have...
We're not going to be intimidated by that idiot, Malema, because he's a coward, and now he's been seen to be a coward. He was nowhere near where the action was. He was sitting safely next to the police minister who gave him his 25-car escort.
Wow.
Believe me, people are rubbing that in.
Dr. Booyans, we have hit the end of our rope. It's going to cut us off, and so we need to have all of our technical issues aside, have you back on, see if maybe you can get your friend to come on with us, and we will finish the rest of this story. You've been listening to We the People. You can find this all at wethepeopleradio.us.
Your health, your choice. Chest.